This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast, hosted by our friends at the Yak. I am Jason Sukumel, back to guide you through another edition. It's been an action-packed and interesting couple weeks. We've got some actual news stuff to talk about, which is fun and sometimes different. Sometimes I have to BS my way through these things, which is not my strong suit. So we've actually got some news to talk about, so I'm glad about that. We'll blow through that stuff in a little bit, but hope everybody's doing well. We are less than 3 weeks away from college football season. High school football season starts this Friday. You got 4A and under starting this Friday, 5A and 6A kind of. The big boys won't start for about another month or so. So it's nice. We're going to have some actual high school football. And man, we had baseball over the weekend. We talked about this catch and Dustin McComas and I did. And you got NBA playoffs going on. And weirdly, my kids are back in school. It's all virtual, but that's kind of set us back on a routine. And life just feels like it's getting a little more back to normal. And knock on wood, I hope it stays that way. Let's hope COVID stays in check and things can continue to maybe plateau or trend the right direction. But yeah, it feels good, man. We've got some recruiting news. We have football scrimmages last week. We've got college football is going to start. I think someone said this week. Is that right? Am I bonkers that some schools are starting to play this week? Hell, I don't know. I need to look at the college football schedule. So anyways, let's talk about some recruiting news. That's what we're here for, I guess, right? So the last time I recorded one of these was about a week and a half ago, if I'm not mistaken. It was on a Saturday, and that was the day after Texas picked up a big commitment from Quinn Ewers, the 2022 quarterback, who the Monday after that would be named the number one quarterback in the country by Rivals.com, a five-star prospect. I think he's number six in the country, regardless of position on the Rivals.com ratings. That needs to go up, and I think it might, over the course of certainly this season and maybe even next season as he continues to dominate the high school competition and potentially rewrite the record book. So Texas picks up that big commitment. We kind of hashed that out in our previous episode, and you're thinking, okay, hey, man, Texas is pretty well set. 2021, they got Jalen Milroe committed. He's been committed for over a year. 2022. They've got Quinn Ewers. Hell, they can start working on 2023 now because everything seems settled, right? Well, when I recorded last week, I didn't have any knowledge, but I just, story of my life, I guess, right? Set myself up for that. But I didn't have any knowledge about Jalen Milroe decommitting, but I did say in the podcast, I said, hey, Texas is going to have to recruit him, in my opinion, as if Jalen Milroe is an uncommitted player. You're going to have to recruit him really, really hard because it just was common sense. Two quarterbacks ahead of him. You've got Quinn Ewers coming in right behind him. Jalen had been talking to other schools, kind of keeping the lines of communication open ever since he first committed over a year ago. So common sense just kind of told me, hey, man, Texas is going to have to work to keep Jalen Milroe in the fold. Probably going to have to ease any concerns that he might have. May have to kind of iron out some wrinkles along the way. I certainly did not see Jalen Milroe decommitting so quickly, but it happened on Monday of last week. So we're talking, it's Tuesday night as I record this, 8 days ago, and 3 days after Quinn Ewers commits, Jalen Milroe flips his commitment to Alabama. And it was pretty interesting how that went down because, word kind of started to trickle out on Monday afternoon. Jalen kind of changed some of his I almost said Facebook, but that's for old people like me. But his Twitter heading got changed, and the picture got changed, and there were just kind of some rumblings. And I did reach out to Jalen kind of behind the scenes, and he and I have always had a good relationship. And I still really like and respect Jalen Milroe, but I just said, hey, man, is there any legitimacy to this? Do I need to be ready? And he didn't respond, which sometimes no response can be as retelling as if a person does respond. I mean, if there's rumors that you're going to flip your commitment and you don't even respond to shut that down, shut those rumors down, that's usually a pretty good indicator. It's like my man Almore Richardson always says, if someone accuses me and saying, hey, man, is it true that you're a child molester? Omar's like, I'm going to respond in a minute and be like, hell no. Where's that rumor coming from? And that is absolutely not true. Now, Jalen Miller, I said, hey, is it true that, you know, you're having some second thoughts? Maybe you might open up your recruitment, maybe even flip your commitment. He didn't respond. And I texted with, I communicated with another source. And I just said, well, let me backtrack a little. I communicated with three sources. So the second source I communicated with was someone close to Jalen, someone who talks with him a lot. And I just said, hey, man, there's smoke out there about this. Do you think there's any truth to that? Or do you think it's just internet rumors and people kind of getting nervous because of the Quinn Ewers commitment? And this guy was like, man, I haven't talked to Jalen about it, you know, directly, but he said, that would shock me. I don't believe it for a second. I said, okay. And then I followed up with a third source, and this source is one that I always trust. His information is impeccable, and he's always has a good handle on things. And he goes, yeah, I think there's some truth to that. But he said, you know, if it happens, I think Texas will be okay. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, that means something's going down. I circled back to source number two, and I said, hey, you may want to keep your eye out because I think something's going down. And then sure enough, before the end of the night, Monday night, Jalen Milroe flips his commitment from Texas to Alabama. And the word behind the scenes, and we kind of wrote about this on Orange Bloods, and it was discussed. And I think we talked, you know, in fact, Anwar Richardson and I did a podcast together last week. And apologies for not doing Something's Brewing. I kind of hoped that maybe people would listen to that because it was all about quarterback recruiting. But, you know, Anwar and I talked, and sources were saying that the biggest reason Milroe decommitted was because he didn't know how well he would fit into Texas's new offensive scheme under Mike Yurcich. And I get it, okay? I mean, because Yurcich, after when he was first hired, he offered a couple pro-style quarterbacks. Texas brings in Quinn Ewers, who is considered a pro-style quarterback. Mind you, he ran for over 500 yards last year, which is way more than Milroe ran for. But I get it. You know, so Milroe's looking at that from what we were told and saying, hey, you know, they're looking for guys who just want to stand in the pocket and do most of their damage with their arms. I want to be a true dual threat guy. Maybe it's not the best fit for me. And this, like I told Anwar, I said, I think there's some truth to that. But I think we'd also be naive if we were saying that Texas getting a commitment from Quinn Ewers didn't have a big factor in Jalen Milroe decommitting. I mean, listen, he decommitted and flipped his commitment. Ewers commits Friday night. He decommits Monday night. The timing of that is not a coincidence. And it wasn't like Texas just started recruiting Quinn Ewers. Texas had been recruiting him as long as they'd been recruiting Jalen Milroe. So he knew all along that Quinn Ewers was their guy in the 2022 class. He knew all along that if, you know, in his mind, if there was a question on fit, that wasn't something that had just come up. So maybe Texas could have done a better job of communicating with Jalen Milroe and saying, hey, man, no, don't worry about it. You know, you're exactly what we want, and we're going to, you know, utilize your strengths and your legs and your athleticism. I don't know. That can be disputed and that can be argued. Personally, excuse me, I almost have a feeling that Jalen was looking for a reason to get out a little bit. I think he liked Texas, but like I said, he'd been talking to other schools. And I think once they got the Ewers commitment, that was basically him like, you know, I think if Texas doesn't get Quinn Ewers, I think Jalen Milroe is still committed to Texas. If Texas gets a two-star or a three-star pocket passer who runs a 5.4 40 and is a pure pro-style quarterback in every sense of the word, I think Jalen Milroe is still committed to Texas. I think because they got the number one quarterback in the country, a guy who is considered and described as a generational talent, I think that was a bigger part of the reason why Jalen Milroe flipped his commitment. So no issues here. Hey, good luck to Jalen Milroe. I think he's a great kid. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's a five-star talent in his own. I wish him nothing at the best Alabama. I hope he has success. I think he'll be great on the field. I think he'll be a great ambassador for Alabama off the field. But I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I don't think that the competition factor didn't play a part. So that happened on Monday. You know, I get word throughout the week that Texas is reaching out to a couple different prospects. They actually reached out to a quarterback. Actually, it was Monday before Jalen Milroe committed, and then I get word on Thursday that Texas reached out to Charles Wright, the Austin High quarterback. And from what I was told, it's like, hey, man, Texas is going to have to decide probably what they're going to do if they're going to offer one of these quarterbacks. And on Friday night, Texas talks to Charles Wright twice. Mike Yurcich does, and kind of gives indication, hey, we're going to offer you. And Saturday afternoon, Tom Herman puts in the call. They give an offer, and Charles Wright, like I said, from Austin High, he commits to Texas on the spot on that phone call. And the timing of that was pretty interesting. I knew things were going to move pretty quickly. You know, I was telling a source of mine who I was talking to about this quarterback recruiting stuff. I said, I think they're going to extend an offer before the end of the weekend. I didn't know it was going to happen on Saturday, and I sure as hell didn't know Charles Wright was going to commit immediately and put it out there. Where, in fact, it was on Saturday afternoon. I'm out at my mother-in-law's, who lives fairly close to us. I'm out there with my kids. My parents were out there. We're barbecuing. She has a swimming pool in her backyard. The kids are out there swimming. My mother-in-law says to me, hey, I have my computer with me. I take my computer everywhere I go. I've told this story before, but I always feel like I'm on call. And she said to me, are you having to work today? And I said, no. I said, you know, this was Saturday afternoon. I mean, the Texas scrimmage had already happened. Anwar had that thing under control with scrimmage notes. I was like, no, I don't think so. I said, you know, I'm not expecting anything to happen right away. And then, boom, within like 15 minutes, I get word that Charles Wright has committed. And I'm like, oh, shit. So open up my laptop and start typing. And sure enough, he announces his commitment. And, you know, things just moved really quickly there. But I think it was a really good pickup for Texas in Charles Wright. I think he's a player that is probably undervalued a little bit by fans when they look at, okay, he's a three-star prospect. And, you know, he's not as highly rated as Jalen Milroe. But I talked to Charles this week, and, you know, I've talked to people close to him, and they're like, listen, man, this guy is ultra competitive and very confident. He's not cocky, not at all cocky, but he's confident. He's confident not only that he can come in and compete. I mean, this is a guy who feels like he can come in and, you know, if he works hard, have a chance to beat out a guy like Hudson Card and Jaquindon Jackson. And he feels like he can possibly, you know, he can even beat out Quinn Ewers and maybe create some separation there. Charles Wright is not coming in with the mindset, and this is my conversation with him and from people close to him, he's not coming in with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to be just a lifetime backup at Texas. I'm going to be happy with that, just to be a part of the program and play for the school that I grew up dreaming about. No, man, he's coming in to compete and win a job and surprise people. So I like the confidence. I like the attitude. I like the skill set. I think he's undervalued. He plays at Austin High, where he doesn't have a lot of help around him, if we're being completely honest. Or, you know, they're not, they're not one of the big schools, certainly not in the state of Texas, but not even in Central Texas or the Austin area. So he's got to do a lot of work, kind of just putting pieces together sometimes, but he's done a good job. And we'll see, you know, if he can adjust to that next level when he gets some really good receivers around him, and he's going to have to adjust to the speed of the game and bigger linemen and this, that, and the other. But I think Charles Wright's got a chance to surprise some people, and he's going to have his hands full, but he'll have a chance at least. So don't completely sleep on Charles Wright. I mean, I did a Q&A this week, and someone asked me, like, hey, there's no way he's ever going to play, right? And I was like, man, I'm never going to say that. I've been covering recruiting a long time, and, I mean, I've seen guys, you just never know. I mean, hell, before I was even covering recruiting, I mean, nobody thought Major Applewhite would ever even sniff the field. I think it was fourth string in the preseason, as that story goes, and he ends up starting, coming in that UCLA game, and then the rest is history. You know, I mean, nobody expected much from Colt McCoy. Nobody gave him a chance when it was him and Ryan Perilou, and then nobody really even gave him a chance to beat out Jevon Snead, and Colt McCoy goes on to rewrite the Texas record books and a lot of the NCAA record books. So I am not going to say Charles Wright doesn't have a chance. That would be silly, and that would be disrespectful to Charles Wright. He's going to have to work at it. He might need a couple things to fall his way, but, I mean, stranger things have happened. So there's Texas's 2021 quarterback. I think they're done. I think he's the perfect candidate. He's a guy who's, like I said, he's going to come in and work. He's not a guy, if things don't work out after a year or two, I don't think Charles Wright's going to, you know, tuck tail and transfer to a smaller school. just so he can get some playing time. I think this guy loves the idea of being a Longhorn. He's from Austin. He's grown up around the program, rooting for the program. I think he you know, will keep just kind of working and chipping away. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he'll keep working to try to earn some playing time and earn a spot. And it was interesting. You know, he told me the story about when he was going into his sophomore year, they had a senior starter at Austin High, and he told himself then, he said, "Hey man, people aren't giving me a chance, but," he said, I'm not going to lose this job. I'm going to win this job." And he said, sure enough, he ends up winning the job and beating out the senior quarterback. And I was like, "Oh, it's interesting that we're talking." The senior quarterback ended up transferring to St. Michael's Academy. The senior quarterback ended up being Sam Saxton. I didn't know that, which I thought was interesting, because Sam Saxton actually was a preferred walk-on for Texas. Was that last year or the year before? I can't even think. But he ended up leaving Texas and going to Stephen F. Austin. But, you know, Sam Saxton was a pretty good high school player and a really good high school player. But he got, I mean, Charles Wright beat him out when Charles was a sophomore and Sam Saxton was a senior. So I just thought that was a pretty interesting little antidote. But, you know, good pickup for Texas with Charles Wright. They're done at 2021. They're done at 2022. I mean, I can't imagine they look for another one in 2022. So Charles Wright, Quinn Ewers, those are your quarterbacks of the future behind the guys that are already on campus. Now, let's talk about running back recruiting. And as I look at the clock, man, I'm about 17 minutes in here, and I've got some recruiting calls to make. So I got to kind of blow through some of this stuff pretty quickly. But interesting developments on Monday night, I guess technically Tuesday morning, that Kamar Wheaton, the five-star running back from Garland Lakeview Centennial, eliminates Texas from his list. He released a top three of Oklahoma, Alabama, and LSU, which really came as a surprise on several fronts, because, you know, that one had looked like a Texas-Oklahoma battle for a while. And then Kamar tweets on Monday morning, "Hey, top two coming today." And initially I was like, okay, it's going to be Texas and Oklahoma. But then I get word later in the day, like, "Hey man, I'm here. It's going to be Oklahoma and Alabama." And I keep hearing that word from a couple different sources, including one source, an Oklahoma source. And the Alabama source of mine said, "Hey, I'm pretty sure Alabama's in it." And, you know, it just wasn't looking good for Texas. Well, I sit around waiting all day and all night. About 11 o'clock at night, Kamar has not tweeted his top two. And finally, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to bed. I will post it first thing in the morning. And lo and behold, I guess he ended up posting it about 12:30 at night. I didn't see it. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to use the restroom, and I saw his tweet, and I ran up to the computer and posted it on Orange Bloods. But he didn't release, not only did he not release a top two, and not only was Texas not involved, he released a top three, which included, like I said, Oklahoma, Alabama, and LSU. So Texas is cut. There are three schools left, which was a change, you know, just a deviation from what he had put out there earlier in the day. Now, why three as opposed to two? I don't know. Is he truly that interested in all three? I don't think so. I don't think LSU is a major player there. I think he thought, I think probably if he said, "Hey, if I go Alabama and Oklahoma, everybody's going to probably know that Oklahoma's a choice." If you'd gone Alabama, Texas, or Oklahoma, Texas, then I think there still would have been some mystery. If you'd gone Oklahoma, Alabama, I think people would have been like, okay, it's going to be Oklahoma. He was just up there last weekend. You know, people have thought this to be a Texas-Oklahoma battle. Those two you could make a case for. But if it's Oklahoma, Alabama, I think people just would have assumed he's going to Oklahoma. I think by adding a third team to the mix, maybe that adds some confusion. Whatever the case, Texas is out. So what happened with Texas? I mean, you know, with Kamar, it's tough to sometimes know what to believe in recruiting, especially with Kamar Wheaton, as yesterday indicated. But the day that Quinn Ewers committed, so two Fridays ago, there were rumblings that Kamar Wheaton might commit as well. Now, what I can tell you is I got word of that. Other publications, I think, were really hinting at it. And I called a source close to Kamar Wheaton, and this person was like, "No, that's not true. He's still looking at four. At that time, it was, of course, Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, LSU. They said, I don't think so. And they said, if he's committing, he hadn't even told us this, that he's committing. Now, they were said, hey, it might happen in a month or two, but they didn't. Nothing was happening. Nothing was imminent. So I said, hey, I don't think, on Orange Bloods, I said, I don't think there's no truth in committing, but I do think Texas was surging there a little bit. I think it was coming down to Texas and Oklahoma. I think Kamar's relationship with Texas was, and with Stan Drayton, was really intensifying. I'd heard that Drayton had done a really good job. I never quite put Texas as the team to beat for the biggest reason is that I think Texas, and I still think that Texas is in a really good spot with LJ Johnson. And I get it, man. I mean, people report, hey, Texas is leading for both, and could they possibly get both? Well, maybe. Come on, man. I mean, use some common sense. Texas was not going to get LJ Johnson and Kamar Wheaton 1 year after getting Bijan Robinson. I never bought into that. Now, I thought maybe there's a chance that Kamar might try to beat LJ to the punch publicly, and maybe he makes a commitment. So I was like, you know, maybe there were just so many moving parts in this and so many potential scenarios, wild card scenarios, that I didn't rule anything out, but I had on my recruiting board, I had LJ as a 60, 65% and Kamar at 40% or something. It wasn't because Kamar was disliking Texas as much as it was, in my opinion, that I thought Texas was in a better spot with LJ Johnson, which then to me, again, common sense would indicate they're probably not going to be in as good a spot with Kamar Wheaton. So anyways, Kamar Wheaton eliminates Texas. The good news there is that, yes, I think Texas is in a good spot with LJ Johnson. I think they need to hang on for a little while there, but I think Texas is the clear team to beat there. A source that I trust indicated as much to me. Well, it was the week before, I tell you what, it was right at 2 weeks ago, because it was the week before, the week of Quinn Ewers committing. It's like, it's funny, like everything on my calendar now is based on when Quinn Ewers committed. But it was that week, but Quinn committed on Friday. I think it might have been like Monday or Tuesday of that week. So literally, it's been a couple weeks. But a key source of mine said, yeah, hey, Texas feels really confident with their position with LJ Johnson. So read into that what you will. And then last week, I communicate with Jaden Blue, nation's top running back in the 2022 class. I put this on Orange Bloods. He tells me, hey, man, Texas is his favorite right now. So running back recruiting, I mean, it's funny, on Orange Bloods, you got half the segment there, half the population is like freaking out because Kamar Wheaton dropped Texas. The other half can kind of read between the lines and say, wait a second, man. They've got Bijan Robinson. Roshan Johnson's no slouch. He's still young. LJ Johnson, things look good there. Jaden Blue, things look good there. So running back recruiting is going to be fine. I mean, if things stay on the rails as I expect them to, running back recruiting should be fine. So let's not freak out there. Let's move on to another topic. Shamar Turner, the Rivals 250 defensive lineman out of DeSoto, comes down to Austin this weekend with his family for, of course, it's an unofficial visit where it's dead period. I guess you could call it a self-guided tour. And, you know, Shamar, I talked to Shamar on Sunday, and he said, yeah, it was good. You know, he toured the campus, kind of saw some things there. Then, you know, later after he left, he FaceTimed with the coaches, the defensive staff, and that went well. And they told him about how he would be used, and he liked that. And he got a chance to kind of interact with some of the current Texas players, so that went well. But Shamar's a tough kid to read, man. I mean, I thought for the longest time, early on, I thought Texas was the team to beat. I just don't have a good handle on that one now, because I still think Texas is in a good place. He visited twice before the pandemic hit. He went out of his way this weekend to come visit. But then I talked to another person. They're like, yeah, I don't know that visit was as much about seeing Texas as it was just being with his family because they were going down there. I'm like, okay, but he did go to campus and did hang out with Texas players. So it had to be somewhat about recruiting. He did tell me he wants to visit the other schools on his list. So A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. I don't know, man. He's a tough kid to read for me. He plays it pretty low key. I know Alabama's been a major player there, but I think Alabama, you know, they're working on they might fill up with their defensive linemen. And if they do, that probably could shut the door on Shamar Turner, which then I think that may make this thing. I could see that one. Basically, I'm just saying this could come down to Texas and Texas A&M. That's kind of how I see that one playing out. And I really don't know who has the edge here. I mean, I talked to some people and they think it's Texas. I talked to people close to the A&M side. They think A&M is a team to beat because of the SEC angle. So I just don't have a good read. I'm not sure anybody does right now, to be honest with you. Hell, I'm not sure Shamar does, to be honest with you. But it'd be a great pickup for Texas if they can make it work. You know, Shamar keeps saying he wants to wait things out a little bit. You know, I said this on Orange Blood. So I said, if you can get him, obviously you take him and you celebrate it. That's a great pickup. You know, anytime you can get a key defensive lineman. But, you know, Texas has recruited defensive line pretty well, including last year, you know, getting a couple really big ones from Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton. Both those guys are playing well as true freshmen. So I don't think it's catastrophic. Just like I said, hey, man, I don't think, you know, when Texas lost Kamar Wheaton, I said on our message board, I said, I wouldn't like lose a lot of sleep over that one just yet. I mean, you know, if things go south with LJ Johnson, then maybe it's worth getting frustrated about. But I feel the same way with Shamar Turner. If you can get him, if you're Texas, you take him, you're happy, you celebrate. If you don't get him, I don't think it's the end of the world. So we'll keep following that one. But bottom line is he was in Austin last weekend and he told me things went pretty well. Another kind of big development on Tuesday afternoon, 2022, cornerback Jalen Gilbo says, hey, you know, he's made up his mind. He's a Rivals 250 cornerback, Port Arthur Memorial. He's made up his mind. He thanks all the other coaches. He puts a tweet out and says, hey, pay attention to the details or something like that. And he's wearing burnt orange gloves. And one of his trainers shows up and he's got like a Longhorn jacket on. So that one looks really, really good for Texas. I think he's probably going to make an announcement next week. I could see, I just look for some twists and turns in that one. But I think Texas is in a really good spot there. I think there are going to be some other schools that are going to have him kind of pulling in different directions over the next week or so. But I ultimately think Texas is in a good spot with 2022 cornerback Jalen Gilbo. That'd give them, if that can work out in Texas's favor, that'd give UT three commitments in that 2022 class all of a sudden. And, you know, Texas is starting to really build there and look really good with some other prospects. So, in fact, I was telling someone else today, I said, man, I need to quit focusing on 2021 because there aren't a lot of guys to check on. I mean, unless they're going to hit the same guys each week, I really need to start focusing on some of these 2022 guys because that class is really ramping up, it feels like. So another update that I talked to last week, kind of similar to Shamar Turner, this guy's coming in on his own this coming weekend. Jack Lehrer, the offensive lineman out of Highland Park, Texas, offered him last, I think it was early last week, or no, I think it was not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So going by my calendar, it would be like 1 week and 1 day after Quinn Ewers committed. But anyways, Texas offers Jack Lehrer, and he's coming in for a visit this weekend. It's weird, man. Like when I talked to Jack last week, this is one that Texas absolutely has to win. He's from Highland Park. He said, hey, man, I'll probably know 20 people in the business program down there from Highland Park. He wants to study business. The McCombs School of Business is fantastic. His dad went to the McCombs School of Business. Everything about this makes sense for Texas. But when I talked to Jack Lehrer, it wasn't like, yeah, Texas is a team to beat. I said, who's standing out? And he said, well, of course, Texas. But then he said Stanford. And he mentioned Virginia and a few others, all really good academic institutions. Northwestern, I believe, was one. So I don't think that's locked in for Texas. And he's visited all the other ones. But my goodness, if Texas can't close the book on this one, then that's just a real indictment on offensive line recruiting. I mean, this is one they just cannot afford to miss. He's coming in this weekend, told me he wants to commit by the first week of September. So we're looking at, you know, maybe early, you know, probably next week or the following week. By September 7th, he said, by his senior season opener, he wants to commit. So Texas needs to do a good job this week while he's on campus, you know, just they, and I said, well, are you going to FaceTime while you're on campus? And I thought that was interesting. He said, no, there's a new NCAA rule where we can't do that. He said, I'm sure Texas will send me some information and like a guided tour or something, but he said he'll do that and then he'll go home and probably FaceTime with the Texas coaches. But they've got to be able to close the book on that one. I mean, for off for this class, I mean, offensive linemen are just few and far between at this point. In fact, you had arguably Texas's top target, Savion Byrd, visiting Oklahoma last week, and that one seems to be trending OU's way all of a sudden. So Texas has to be able to close the deal with Jack Layer, or otherwise I don't know where else they go. They're going to have to really dig around to find some developmental prospects. And, I mean, honestly, a case could be argued that Jack Layer is a developmental prospect, but he does have a pretty impressive offer list, so, you know, maybe he could be a quote-unquote diamond in the rough for Texas if it works out. And lastly, let's talk a little bit about wide receiver recruiting. Texas offers 2021 TCU commitment Chase Jackson. I mean, Texas has two wide receiver commitments now in Casey Kane and Jaden Alexis. They're looking for at least one more, maybe two, depending on who else wanted to come aboard. But, you know, I hear that, and then my first question is, okay, that's interesting. What does that mean about their chances with Keytron Jackson? I haven't connected with Keytron. I've checked around, and nobody seems to think things have changed that much, but I just think maybe some of the shine from Keytron Jackson's self-guided tour, which is about a month and a half ago, down to Austin, I think some of that shine may have worn off a little bit. Texas offers Chase Jackson, who is committed to TCU. He's intrigued, but it was interesting. He told me, you don't hear this very often, but he said, hey, yeah, I kind of grew up, TCU was kind of his dream school. That's who he grew up rooting for. I'm like, oh, that's usually you hear about, you know, this is a kid from Oklahoma, state of Oklahoma, so you hear that about Oklahoma or Alabama or Texas or LSU. You don't hear that about TCU very often, but for whatever reason, he was drawn to TCU early. That's where he's committed to. He did say he wants to visit Texas at some point. He's keeping an open mind, but I don't think that's an easy flip for Texas by any stretch of the imagination. So what's going to happen there? Who else can they add to that, the current two-man recruiting class? You know, I don't know the answer to that right now. They'll keep plugging away on a guy like Keytron Jackson and Chase Jackson, but don't know how that'll play out just yet. You know, you got J.J. Henry's another guy. I think if I'm placing odds, I mean, he seems like he might be the most likely, but I just don't have a great feel for that because he's a tough one for me to track down at times. So, man, that's what I've got. I'm kind of going through my head. Those are the key items I wanted to talk about. It's been a busy news week and a half. We talked quarterbacks. We talked running back. We talked defensive linemen, offensive linemen, wide receivers, 2022 defensive back. So kind of packed a lot in on this one. So on that note, it is time for me to end this podcast and start working the phones and try to get some recruiting intel for the War Room on Thursday night. So I appreciate everybody listening. This is Something's Brewing. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel. Once again, thanks for giving me some of your time. You all stay safe. You all have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon. And who knows, maybe we'll have big news to talk about possibly as early as next week. You all take care. Thanks for listening.